Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're here with a very special guest, a massive friend of the show, a guy that is a ride or die Johnny Junta guy for life. It's my friend, Atlanta Braves prospect, Drew Lugbauer. How are we doing, Lugs?
Johnny, my guy, how are you doing? I'm doing great.
I'm good. And by the way, I gotta bring something up, because when you talk about Johnny Junta guys that put their balls on the table for me, it's a guy doing a podcast on his birthday. And I'll be honest with you, Lugs, I'm a little heartbroken. You thought I didn't know it was your birthday. I even brought booze here to have a celebratory drink for you, Lugs. Happy birthday, brother. And when you're talking about guys that are putting their balls on the table for me, like, that's just the definition there. A guy doing it on his birthday. You could have told me to fuck off and I didn't. But credit to me. And I actually, this is a little backstory on it. I already knew it was your birthday, but your girlfriend reached out to me on DM and said, like, wish Lugs a happy birthday for me. He thought it wasn't your birthday. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You thought I wouldn't think it was your birthday. I'm disappointed. So let's go into that thought process. Why did you think it took every bone in my body not to tweet it? I was going to surprise you. That's why I have celebratory drinks here.
I mean, I don't know. I just didn't, I honestly didn't even think about it. You just asked me to come on the pod, and I just was like, you know what? Why not? Make your birthday much better. Talk to you, get on here.
Like, I'm honored you even did this. This is just incredible. And like I said, I had to have a celebratory drink. But what have you been up to today, man? What did you do today for your birthday?
Woke up, actually got my hair cut, and been playing some Call of Duty with the buddies here, my roommates, and then we're going to go out to dinner tonight, go to a Mexican restaurant and, you know, have a couple of drinks and enjoy it.
And I'll actually just completely let it slide. You still haven't added me back on COD. It's literally been 5 to 6 months.
I don't even have a request from you.
That's a lie.
It's not.
I can show you. I can show you. It's a
bull. I swear I don't.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. Right. I could be right. I could be wrong. We'll figure it out. I'll announce it on Thursday's episode. I'll maybe put it in the description of the episode. Let's go into this year for you, man. I mean, holy shit. It seems like every time I refresh my Twitter page, you're launching. I mean, so how many times have you been piss tested this year for steroids?
Actually, I think only twice. So they might be catching on now, but I guess they're letting it slide a little bit.
Dude, it's incredible to see, man. I mean, so what have you kind of switched up? Obviously, people talk about launch angle. I don't even really know what that means. I'm not the brightest, but are you keeping the same swing, same approach, and you think just things are going your way, or what's the deal here?
Yeah, definitely working on the approach a little bit more, kind of learning how pitchers are pitching me and trying to get into counts that work for me. And, you know, especially being on this team, I know you see that we are stacked with players who can just ball. So just being around them as well definitely has helped my game, elevate my game, and learning from them. And the hitting coaches and the coaches we have are unbelievable. So it's kind of been this whole influx of talent that I've been able to observe, and kind of just knowledge of the game that it's just picking up. It's been awesome.
True. And this is completely off topic. The last time we had you on the podcast, we just got to get the elephant out of the room. It was awkward, right? I mean, am I the only one that kind of thinks it was not with you, with Jordan? I mean, what, am I the only one that kind of thinks there's a little bit on the awkward side, or am I wrong?
Yeah, it was awkward. It was awkward. We're not gonna hide from that. But I don't know. I mean, maybe things change, but just, yeah, definitely a little awkward.
Some people don't get you and I, like, that's why I said, when I talk about Johnny June to guys that would go on the front lines for me, you're that guy. And when you have me and you going at it, it's just, he was like a third wheel. Like, yeah. That's what I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it.
It was like you and I were on a date. We had someone set up for him. And they didn't show up, but he was still there. You know what I mean? Yep. That's what it was. Yep. I mean, it's heartbroken. I'm sure he's a great guy, but some people just don't understand the vibes that you and I bring, which is fine. I'm sure he's doing well. Jordan Wogu. But it's whatever, man. But you mentioned that team. That team you're on is the most stacked team of all time. I mean, you guys are like, what, 25 games above 500 or something along those lines? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's – I mean, I forget who I was talking to today about it, but – it's just the most unbelievably talented team I've ever been a part of, up and down the lineup. Literally, even guys that aren't playing in that day, if they come off the bench, they're easily able to hit a home run or contribute in some sort of way. And our pitching staff is just unbelievable as well. So it's up and down. Just walking into that locker room, I feel extremely blessed to be even be a part of it and get to go around and watch these guys and compete every single day. It's really special.
You guys literally got like a pretty much trade deadline acquisition with Nolan Cam coming back down to AA and going 33 straight scoreless innings. I mean, let's talk about what that guy's doing at that level. I mean, obviously I'm a big Nolan Cam guy, but even looking on it from the outside, it's just incredible to see 31 straight scoreless innings. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Cam guy. That guy, He is who he is off the field. Awesome, awesome guy. Love to be around him. And then on the field, you would just never know that he's such a dog. Like he just competes and he's a grinder and he does everything he can to, you know, get the edge and get better. And I love being out there playing defense behind him because he works sufficiently fast. And the guy is just a pitcher. He can flat out ball.
So when he's pitching, because obviously I haven't been to a game yet. When he's pitching, are you talking like, it's like 2 seconds, 3 seconds in between each pitch. He just gets that ball back, steps on the rubber, and it's game time.
Yeah, and then he attacks batters. It's strike one, strike two, ground out, or strike one, strike two, strike three. It's quick. And he's got really good stuff. He can throw all his pitches for strikes. It's just fun to watch. He's a pitcher, and it's really fun to play behind him.
I mean, that team is just idiotic, right? I mean, you got CJ Alexander too, who's a freak. And then you have Langliers, or I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but that team is just full of top prospects. So when you went into camp, I guess, and you saw that potential team that's going to be around you, did that kind of make you think like, listen, man, I got to perform or this team's going to gas me, or I got to like, cause these guys are going to start over me? Or like, what's that mindset you have like playing every single day there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that every day, you know, you got to give your best because, you know, all these guys are going to be giving their best. And we have fun with it. We're all pushing each other to be better, and we're having a lot of fun. I think the fun is what's helping us because we get to the field every day and it's jokes, laughters, and just everyone's, you know, pushing each other to get better. So it's a really good atmosphere. And, you know, we all work our ass off to be out there.
No, dude, it's incredible to see. And like I said, you've been absolutely launching balls this year. Give the people a little bit of a background. Like, what do you think is the furthest ball you hit this year where you could have bat flipped and the ball would – you could have touched second and the ball still wouldn't have landed?
Geez, I don't know. I think the other day in Montgomery I hit one that was pretty significant that – I watched it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I watched it a little bit. But that one really, really sticks out.
Dude, it's just, obviously I'm a little bit biased because I always say on this podcast, left-handers have the nicest, smoothest swings in baseball, and it's not even like remotely close. So do you sometimes look back at these home run videos and you're like, man, I'm a dog? Like, not, you don't say you're a dog because you're a humble dude, but do you look back at these and you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I just did that?
Sometimes, yeah, especially like I'll hit one pretty far and I'll be rounding the bases and be like, how the hell did I just do that? Like, dang, that was actually kind of cool. That's how you got to play this game because it's this game's based in failure. So you got to take your wins and soak it all in when you can because, you know, it doesn't really happen often. So when you do it, you really just got to soak it all in, like I said, and, you know, be proud of it.
And dude, you've kind of pushed yourself into that starting lineup and made it like impossible for them not to play you, right? I mean, at the start of the year, you were kind of getting second team reps, I guess you could say, right? You were playing every other game or you're coming off the bench. But at what point in the year do you think it was like they're kind of forced to play me every single day, or they're forced to have me in the lineup? Like, what part of the year were you just so locked in where it was impossible to keep you out of that lineup?
Yeah, I think after the first couple of weeks, I was having really good at bats and, you know, hitting the ball hard everywhere. So I think, you know, I told myself once I got in there for good, I wasn't coming out. And, you know, I've done my best to, you know, try to do that. And every day I kind of have the same mentality of, you know, trying not to get complacent with it. And, you know, the guys also do a good job with that, because we're all, like I said, we're all pushing each other to get better. So, yeah, just every day is another opportunity to prove that you belong in there, and, you know, kind of take it like that.
Is this your Rule 5 year this year, or was that last year?
It was last year, and I think it just carries over every year. So.
Oh, it carries over. So, I mean, if they leave you unprotected, you're going to be like a first overall pick. I mean, you're pretty much putting up Barry Bonds numbers. You're 16 nukes, right? Yeah, it's we'll crazy.
See. We'll see.
And, dude, you got to think, right? I mean, you kind of got – I say this to Nolan all the time. I mean, if you guys are in any other organization, you guys are in the show by now, right? I mean, the Atlanta Braves have so, like, even at that AAA level, you look at that AAA team, you have ex-MLBers up there like Jason Kipnis, Ryan Gomes, all these guys. So it's just it's tough for guys to move up in that system, right? So it's just the opportunities. And if they protect you, that means they see a future in you. And if they don't, I mean, it's a massive opportunity to go somewhere where you could be in AAA or the show right off the bat, right? So it's, I mean, and you're putting up those numbers where it's like, if a team passes on you, they're just like idiots. So it's sick to see. But I mean, when you're locked in like this and you're putting up those power numbers like you are right now, is it just like you're looking for a specific pitch at the plate every single time? Or is it like, I can hit everything away, I can hit everything in? Or like, what do you do? What's your kind of approach?
I mean, it obviously all depends on the pitcher. Generally, you're always usually just sitting fastballs, because you can always react off of the fastball. But some pitchers are, you know, heavy off speed in certain counts and in certain situations with runners on. And, you know, I can go into that whole thing. But, I mean, just knowing myself as a hitter, kind of knowing my weaknesses and the pitcher's strengths, and kind of basing my plan that day off of that. So it all – every day is kind of different. But in the end, it kind of all leads back to, you know, staying on the fastball and really just – kind of a window of where I can do damage, regardless of the pitch, you know, like that's where I want to, you know, hit the ball.
And I always say this, like, what is it like playing back in front of fans? And I'm assuming the Mississippi fans, and I just have that Canadian impression of Mississippi fans being rowdy, loud, get blackout drunk. So what's it been like playing in front of fans again? Obviously last year you guys had that year off, so you were just playing, I guess, scrimmages with your buddies or stuff like that. But what's it been like seeing fans, playing with fans, or just have fans been chirping you, or what's the deal here?
Dude, I am so happy that there are fans in the stands. Like, I will take all the chirps in the world just to have fans in the stands and just be able to play baseball again. Like, I remember we stepped out there for opening day and it was like, wow, like this is, you know, we're finally back after, you know, a whole year of it being gone. I remember I would say that over quarantine, like I would just like be praying to step on a field in front of fans. And we finally got that. And, you know, you kind of take it for granted. And now that it's back, it's just amazing. It's awesome being out there and playing in front of people.
And we saw this yesterday with like Shohei, and you play with a couple of big time prospects like Shoemake and Langleyers and all those guys. Are the autograph seekers crazy in AA, or what's the deal with that?
These guys are off the rails. They're bonkers, man. They're just standing. They're standing outside after every single game, right by the bus or by the locker room, just waiting there. And I feel bad for those guys because, you know, they get hounded. But
yeah, like, who's the worst? Who gets the worst? Who gets it the worst?
It's Shea for sure. Shoemake definitely gets some too. But yeah, you don't want to be walking with Shea outside after a game. he'll get hounded. So,
dude, it's actually insane. I didn't really think about this. We had Alec Marshall on like 2 weeks ago, and he said Bobby Witt Jr. It's like when he got off the plane to go to like the Futures game, there was just a shit ton of fans.
Oh yeah, I bet.
I don't know what possesses these older human beings to just hound like 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds for autographs. It's the dumbest shit ever. I mean, what's the worst you've kind of seen? Like, have you seen like fans going absolute bananas for Shea, just all old dudes? And like, how bad do you feel for these dudes? Cause I couldn't believe it. I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
I mean, I feel terrible. I had to get on one guy one time. We're at home and it's 800 degrees here, and we just lost a game. I think we didn't have a really good game hitting. No one really hit well. And I think Shea broke a bat, and he had the bat in his hand. He's packing up his stuff, and they're leaning in the dugout screaming, like, give me your bat, give me your bat. And I turn to him, I'm like, hey, man, like, not now, not now. Like, we just had a bad game. Like, just let us relax. It's like I understand, like, you know, we have this kind of responsibility as athletes to, you know, give back and, you know, be a role model to do that kind of stuff. But, like, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's just not ready for it. Some days you just don't want it. We have to live our own lives, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, buddy, just take it easy. Like, these kids just lean in the dugout screaming for a ball, not even saying please or anything, just ball, ball, ball. And, like, that just gets old after a while, you know? Like, it's like if we went to somebody's work and we were leaning over their cubicle screaming, like, mouse, 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 give me your mouse. Give me your keyboard. Give me your monitor, you know? Like, put yourself in our shoes. Like if we just came to your work and started screaming at you, you know, like, it's that thing, you know, so I don't know. Some people take it a little too far, and there are a lot of the times people are respectful, and, you know, but there's some instances where it just gets on your nerves, and yeah, it can make it tick.
Dude. And like, even for the aspect of like, the parents or just stuff like that, I couldn't even imagine, because I was at Kevin Smith's debut on Friday and Sunday. I went to both those games.
Yeah, saw that.
And there's legit people like recording his parents, like reaction, like just, oh, yeah. Or even pointing at them, or just, I mean, they're pretty respectful in Toronto actually, because Kevin and I were like just walking through downtown and stuff like that. No one really noticed or even tried to like bother him even after his debut. But uh-huh. I couldn't even imagine what it's like for a guy like I guess you could say like a Boba Shett or a Vladdy. I even told Kevin, I'm right. Like, these guys, there's no way these guys could like go out. Like, right. I couldn't even imagine Boba Shett trying to go to like dinner, like where me and Kevin went to Lavelle. Like, I couldn't even imagine those guys trying to right. go to a place like that. They'd be stared at like they have four heads. Like, right. It's crazy, dude.
Right. Yeah. It's, I can't imagine Vladdy or, like you said, Boba Shett going out either, like, or Aaron Judge going out in New York kind of thing. It's insane. But they do it somehow. I don't know. So.
Yeah. I mean, and speaking about Big Ten, we're going to talk about it. We're both dripped out in Michigan gear. And I will say this, I'm wearing Michigan football gear, not Michigan baseball, because I don't like that team. We're going to kind of dead to me, but that's fine. Let's go into the predictions. Obviously, you and I, we see it. We see the Michigan football team. They're absolutely horrific. Like last year, that was one of the worst years I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
What is your thought process going into this year? Like, would you be happy? Like, I'll be happy if the Michigan football wins 7 games. Like, that's where I'll be like, all right, this was a good year, because last year was so bad.
Yeah, last year was so bad. And 7 wins sounds good. But, dude, we gotta win big. We have to. We're Michigan. Like, when you think of Michigan, you think of
football,
the greats. You know, of all the greats. And dude, it's just mediocre football after mediocre football. We need to win, and we need to win.
Are you a part of the Jim Harbaugh needs to be fired campaign or what?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if it's him. I mean, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. After Urban Meyer said that we get the same, or he said that Ohio State and Michigan get the same caliber players every year. And they pump out first rounders like it's their like no job, or like yeah. It's none of their business, and then they make up, you know, a New Year's Bowl every year. So I don't know. I mean,
and you're right. It's a good point. Urban Meyer, obviously, I hate him. I'm wearing a shirt that says "Liar, Liar, Urban Meyer." But when you talk about guys, it just, if you look at the recruiting class, Michigan always has top five. Like Michigan legit always has five stars, 4.5 stars. Can Jim Harbaugh recruit? Sure, man. He's one of the best recruiters in the country, obviously. Right. Like, the guy sleeps over at the kid's house. Right. But the fact that Michigan football, and the one year that absolutely murdered me was that year they were ranked, I think, fourth in the nation or third in the nation. When they just – I went to the game against Wisconsin. They absolutely wiped the floor with Wisconsin on game day. I was on college game day. And then they lose by 500 to Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the shit. It's just like – I'm a fan of arguably the worst sports franchises of all time, University of Michigan. I'm a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who had a 3-1 lead, blew it, lost the series 4-3. I'm a fan of the Blue Jays, who lost the game yesterday on Marcus Semien two-hopping a ball to first base on the with two outs in the ninth. It just I'm a collection of terrible teams. But Michigan sometimes the thing about Michigan is, and you can back me up on this, they just give hope for no reason. Then they'll just rip your heart out.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's what I tell guys in the locker room. They always chirp me like, oh, Michigan gonna have another subpar year. I'm like, no, we're gonna go 10-1 until we play Ohio State and get our doors blown off. Like, it's going to be, all right, you know, this might be the year, this one right here. Then we're going to lose by 50, and then we're going to lose the bowl game because no one cares about it, and then it's just whatever.
It's embarrassing. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, Lugs. I mean, we have to go to a Michigan game this year. I mean, I'll pick you up. I'll drive right through New York, and I'm looking at that schedule. When does your college football season end? Like, when does your baseball season end?
End of September.
End of September. So let me look at the schedule. And people hold Lug. Start people tweet at Lugs to make him get held accountable. We're gonna go to Michigan, Indiana in November, or Michigan Northwestern. We got to go to a game in Michigan at the Big House when Michigan's like guaranteed to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be going to Michigan, Ohio State, which is in November. You can't be going to that because it's just gonna be a nightmare. Like you can't be going to those type of games. But we'll go to like Michigan, Indiana. Actually, Indiana's kind of good. That I'm rethinking it, Indiana's kind of good. Well, maybe go to the Northeastern or Northwestern one.
I guess we should see how their season's going. If they're playing really well, then Indiana would kind of be a dope game to go to.
Yeah, but true.
If they're not playing well, then we probably got to do Northwestern. So I guess we got to see.
100%. 100%. And when you go back there, is it like an alumni thing with baseball guys? Like you just immediately get access to the baseball house, or what's the deal with that?
I don't know if they have a baseball house there anymore. We used to when I was a freshman there, but now that I think about it, I don't know if I know anybody that's on the team currently anymore. I think last year was the last year that I played with a kid that was on the team.
So it's over. The dream's over. So now you're like you're just like an urban legend there. And you obviously, and people can listen back to the Jordan Wogu interview. You're like an urban legend there, bro. Like he told stories about you launching balls over fucking scoreboards and shit. So I mean, you mentioned the name Drew Lugbaugh in Michigan baseball, and it's there. But I mean, is Michigan baseball good anymore? Like, what's the deal with that? I haven't even looked.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be really good from here on out. Coach Backage does a great job recruiting and getting guys ready, and that staff, Nick Schnabel, all those guys there. That there's so much support for them, and they're two of the best guys that I've ever met, and Wayne Weltland over there too as well. Those guys are the best, and they're always going to find a way to be good and get the teams ready. And I'm excited. I'm always going to be obviously a diehard Michigan fan, and always going to be following them and their success.
True. I mean, we'll definitely pump out some content. Like even if we do the official, the first vlog at a college football game, I might be dead. Like, I don't know what it is. Every time I go to Michigan if I go to Michigan or a football game, stuff like that, I just get insanely intoxicated where I beg my friends to call an ambulance. I don't know what it is. I have legitimately no idea what it is, but that's just what I do. But let's go back into baseball for a second. With the numbers you're putting up and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you have to be thinking, right? I mean, AAA has to be coming soon. Like, are you just waiting for that call to go to AAA? Or like, what's the deal with that? Are they contacting you or talking to you or anything?
I mean, honestly, it sounds cliche, but I try not to think about it too much because I really can't control that. Like, I can't be like, hey, yo, like, call me up to AAA kind of thing. It's just something that's completely out of my control. And as long as I put up numbers and, you know, play my game, then good things will happen in the future, regardless if I go to AAA this year or what have you. So I think it's just I got to take it a game by game and, you know, keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, good things will happen.
And I'll say this. I think I'm obsessed with going to debuts of guys like friends of the show. Like, obviously Kevin Smith was the first one. He obviously it's a little bit different because he's from Toronto. Like he plays for Toronto.
Yeah.
I got borderline emotional watching this shit. Like I was with his family, and obviously it's weird for me to get emotional. I've known him for like 2 years, a year and a half, but just seeing how emotional his family got and like all that kind of stuff. It was like, I'm obviously a crier. I was like, borderline close tears. And I don't know if you saw that video. Did you see that video
So I saw the video and I was like, holy shit, that's Johnny right behind me. I was like, no way. I was like, I know that person. And then you tweeted the video and I was like, holy shit, that's insane. Like that was the coolest thing in the world. I mean, those always get me, the the family's reacting. And, you know, I really want to replicate that one day, but those are awesome.
And if you look back at the video, and this is actually me announcing this right now. I told a couple of my buddies. I don't think Kevin knows about this. Before his debut, I did tell Kevin. I threw in a absolute hammer. I was so nervous. Like, dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm obsessed with going to these, like, debuts. I was so nervous, dude. I threw in an absolute hammer. I was like, please, God, let Kevin do well. And then his back comes up, and I'm like, we're obviously, like, cheering. Like, the crowd gives him a standing O or whatever. And he gets his first hit, and I swallow my dip, dude. Like, I swallow the whole dip. So if you look back in the video, like, my face looked insane. Like, I looked fucked. Like, I was, dude, my whole face. If you look back in the video, I was getting roasted. My buddies were calling me ugly as shit. They're like, what's this asshole doing in the picture? Like, I was getting messages, everyone roasting me. I swallowed dip. I had a rally dip for Kevin. And what does he do? He gets a hit. 69 mile an hour.
You're just a selfless guy.
I'm a selfless guy. I'll do the same for your debut. And when and your debut is going to be in the U.S. So
yeah, absolutely.
The dip will be way cheaper. So, I mean, I'm fine with swallowing some of it. Dude, it's just like, it was crazy, man. It was honestly, and I said this to Kevin, I've never seen a Blue Jays player after getting their first career hit, besides like Vladdy, I guess, get a standing O. Like, I don't know if you saw the video.
Really? He got a standing O.
He like tipped it. I don't know if he tipped his helmet to the crowd, but like they legit kind of stopped the game for this.
Wow.
It was insane, dude. And I say this, Toronto Blue Jays fans are the best, bro. It's like, cause we have that whole country supporting the team. So his debut was so hyped. I think he gained like 3,000 Instagram followers in like 2 days.
Wow.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, his debut was hyped. It was like, because obviously he was hitting like 300 with 20 nukes in AAA. Yeah. I mean, it was gonna happen soon, but it was crazy, man. Just seeing the fans give him a standing go. I was like kind of shocked. Like, his parents were crying, obviously. His dad went viral. And I was like, man, I can't believe this shit. So it's crazy to me. But that day for you is an opportunity. And you play with a team that's just an absolute wagon. So when that debut happens for you, it's just going to be guaranteed sold out crowd. And I'm going to be there. I'm addicted now. I'm going to literally start driving to debuts. I'm just going to be inviting myself. It's insane. I mean, who's one massive prospect you've played this year that's in the show now or like is like a big time guy?
I played against a few guys this year. Trying to think. I mean, I don't know. There's two guys in the Reds, Jose Garcia and Alejo Lopez.
Those guys throw gas, right? Are you talking about the pitchers?
They're both infielders.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of pitchers. Oh, Eduardo Cabrera just got called up.
On the Marlins.
Is that
kid apparently he's a freak on MLB The Show. I saw all the MLB Show content creators legit just pumping this guy's tires. Does he throw like 99 plus?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a good pitcher. Who else? I'm trying to think. There's definitely a few more that aren't coming up to my head, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, like, playing against them and then turn on TV or Twitter and seeing that they're debuting. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's insane. It just and you're almost – I mean, you're so close to being there, which is crazy to me. I mean, you have success at the AA level. It's just the organization you're in is, like, fucking insane. Right. I mean, you see it with the pitching staff. With Nolan's numbers in AA, I mean, he has no – like, he should have just skipped AAA with his numbers. Yeah. I mean, it's just 33 straight scoreless. It's just fucking crazy. And then you have Shoemaker, and then you have Shea. Do you think Shea right now could play in the show? Like, with like –
Yeah, I do. I he's a special talent. And I obviously don't know, like, on a day-to-day level, like, how good Major League Baseball is or even AAA, because I haven't been there to experience it firsthand. But from what I've seen from Shea, I mean, he's just leagues above every catcher we've played against, and he can hit, and he's just a very good player. Very good player.
That team is just – are you guys ring-chasing now? Like, is it like – is there, and obviously a part of you wants to go to AAA, but is there a part of you like, if I don't go to AAA, I'm kind of chilling here. Like, I have a chance to get a ring.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, we're saying, you know, let's go win this thing. We're going to be here. Let's go win it. And we got the guys to do it for sure.
Are you getting after it today for your birthday, or what's the deal? Are you going to be respectable? Or are you going to treat it like it's you, Michigan birthday? Or like, what's going on?
We'll be respectable. I don't know. We'll see what's going on. see what's going to happen.
I respect that, man. You're just the baller. You're just like, listen, I'm not going to be getting after it. And we got to talk. I mean, I obviously be pissed if we don't talk. Your agent's going to get pissed if we don't talk about him. Our guy, Matthew Gaeta. By the way, guy just hates answering text messages. I told him like two of his guys are going to be in Toronto within the next month. I was like, if you're not here, you're dead to me, pretty much. I literally said, you're dead to me if you're not here with two of your guys playing here. But whatever. He didn't answer. It's fine. But what's so let's go into that process. I mean, what made you, obviously we talked about it on FaceTime, but what made you kind of go with Gaeta Sports Management or just all that kind of stuff? Like, how did you find out about him?
I found out about him through social media and actually a few other guys that I saw with him and reached out and kind of got a conversation going. And pretty much it. Nothing really.
Was he like, what's the process of even finding an agent? Like, do you have to like send them your stats and shit, or what's the deal with that?
I think they can look it up or whatever. It's just, you're just kind of reaching out, kind of getting to know each other and seeing, you know, if they're available to take you or take you on and they want to represent you and stuff.
Is he one of the craziest agents you've ever seen? Like, I'll say that with the utmost respect. I mean, the guy just is an absolute, he's like me pretty much with the guests. Like, I ride for the guest. I'll tweet all the highlights of the guest, but this guy is above and beyond. Like, his story looks like a caterpillar on Instagram with all the stuff he's posting. So he's a ride or die guy. I got to respect it. But is he one of the craziest you've ever seen? Like, has to be, right?
Yeah, he is pretty crazy with that. And, like you said, he is ride or die. He does remind me of you, though. You go out on a limb for your guys, and he does as well. And it's pretty cool to see.
That's like one of the things we bonded. Have you seen this guy's fucking office? I mean, is this guy signing $20 million deals or some shit? I mean, he's on the his office is overlooking the whole city of New. I mean, all of New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
No, yeah, it's a dope office. I'm waiting for your office. You know, in the Rogers Center somewhere around there.
No. I don't think the Jays will acknowledge my existence. And actually, there's a background, actually, the Jays, where they said they're not fans of the show, but they were joking, I'm assuming. It was like the social media channel, but it was just one day somehow I might have to start a Jays podcast. If I start a Jays podcast, because if you were looking at my reactions during like Kevin's at-bats or whenever when Kevin made nasty plays, I'd break the internet. I was just not making it about me. I'm a Kevin Smith guy. I was letting the camera stay on his parents. I sat two seats to the left, so I wasn't on camera. I was going fucking bananas. And you know what's insane? I don't know if you saw this. He came up yesterday, I think in the bottom of the 10th, the tie game, and he had a chance to win it, and I almost had a heart attack. Like, that's it was one of the crazy things of all time. But obviously, I mean, it's just – could you imagine being put in that position, bro? Like, your first career game, you're starting at third base and you're going up in the bottom of the 10th against a guy throwing 101 mile an hour sinkers from the left side.
I mean, yeah, good luck.
Do you catch yourself that sometimes when, like, during an at bat, you're like, how the fuck do people hit these guys?
Sometimes, yeah. There's a few guys that's just like, God, I don't have a fucking chance in hell right now.
It's crazy, man. It honestly is insane. But, it's there's some guys in your league, but there's the league where the Orioles are in the Bowie. What are they called? The Bowie BayHawks, something like that. I don't remember their name. Uh-huh. But they have like three or four pitchers that throw 100. Like, it's insane, dude. Who's one guy on your team, obviously, besides Nolan, like a massive pitcher, a massive pitching prospect that's been as big as Nolan for you guys?
Well, he just went to AAA, but Bryce Elder, he's been, I mean, another Texas guy. He's been really good. All of our pitchers, literally every single one has gone in there and thrown up zeros and done their job. And it's been honestly impressive to see.
On a scale of like 1 to 10, if you guys win the ship, like, how mangled are you going to get? Like, are you going to get after it or what?
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about it. We don't want to hype it up too much. We kind of want to let it happen, but you know, we've had some talks about what's going to happen.
How does that work, by the way? Like, how does I probably should know this, but how does the playoffs work?
So we only play a 5-game series, and it's the top two teams in the league. It's regardless of division. So it's top two teams with the
– So you and Montgomery.
Right now it's us and Montgomery, yeah.
So it's a 5-game series. That's it. There's no, like, semifinals, quarterfinals, none of that shit.
No, I think if you play the first two games are at the number two seed, then you play an off day, and then you have an off day, and then you play the last three at the home, or at the one seeds.
That's electric. Yeah. That's sick. And those atmospheres are going to be crazy, dude.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
It honestly, like, it's going to be like one of those moments where, like, in the future, you look back at that roster and just all big leaguers. Yeah. Like, that's, and you hear stories about that, obviously, with all the guys and stuff like that. But it's, obviously, it sucks being freaking, it sucks, obviously, with the numbers you're putting up, not being in AAA. But if you're looking at the bright side of it, you're on a wagon of a team. Like, your team could probably beat a ton of AAA teams.
No, yeah,
you really could.
Yeah, that's what we say. It's an awesome experience to be part of this team, and I'm really blessed to be part of this.
And you get rings. And you get rings too. What's that Mississippi facility like?
It's not bad. It's kind of your run of the mill AA facility. It just gets really, really, really hot. And being from New York, I've never experienced this, you know, southern heat. So it's definitely different.
True. But everyone says, even when people come to Toronto and stuff like that, they say the heat where we live, like the areas where we live, are way worse because of the humidity, though. Like, it's not humid.
No, it's humid.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have no idea how you guys do that, man. It's one of those things where if you're drinking beer, it's just the alcohol is just not even getting to you. It's pretty much water.
Literally water, yeah. And so Shay... in the fifth inning, Shay will have a completely different uniform on.
Like, he'll serious?
Change his shirt, change his uniform because he's so drenched after catching.
Have you been like? Are you a sweat? Are you a big sweat guy?
I'm a big sweater, yeah, but I don't get to that level. That's tough.
That's crazy, especially in the minor leagues where they have legit one jersey for you. It's like you're not. I mean, you're not in the show where you have like five or six jerseys just whenever, like, at your disposal. But what's one of the, because obviously it's your first time triple, what's one weird town you've visited, or like just a funny story of this year? Like, because obviously fans being back, they're rowdy now.
Weird. I don't know about weird towns. I'm just trying to think about where we've gone.
Because I heard Montgomery's like just in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It kind of is in the middle of nowhere. Then it just pops up and there's like a kind of like a little municipal area, like, but I don't know, there's not really any weird places we've gone to.
Yeah, I guess you're in kind of a, like, the higher level, the higher the level that you get to, you're not going to fucking Beloit, Wisconsin, which has obviously been absolutely torched on this podcast. But yeah, no, it's just I mean, the league you're in is good. So if it's you and Montgomery, I mean, there's going to be a lot of official and unofficial alumni going at it in that game. It's crazy.
Wait, who else is with Montgomery?
Chris Moeller.
Oh, yeah, Moeller. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the pitchers there. Obviously, it's Kyle's brother.
Yep.
And I believe Kenny's with it. And then Jake Polamaski. I don't know how to properly pronounce his last name.
We just played them, like, this past week.
Yeah. Yes. No, that team gets after it, too. They like to have fun. I've seen some videos of those guys. They like to get after it. But so wait, did you guys sweep this? Like, do you guys sweep this week?
5-1.
Jesus Christ. So you guys are just a wagon, dude. Yeah. You guys are a wagon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would be begging not to get called to the AAA. Like, I want a ring.
Yeah, this is fun. It's been fun. Winning's fun. So it's been good.
True. Couple more things, man. I mean, so obviously, actually, no, way more than a couple things. So what's your birthday today? You haven't posted one, retweeted one thing about your birthday, or even posted it. So just, are you, and your girlfriend said you like to fly under the radar. Shout out Nicolette, by the way. I didn't even give her a shout out earlier. Why do you do that? Why do you fly under the radar? I like to make it about me. So this is your birthday week. So what's the deal here?
I don't know. I'm just not a big birthday guy. I mean, like, I enjoy it, like, whatever, but.
So we're going to say this, because you're not, obviously, I'm assuming you're not a big present guy. So what do you want for your birthday? Like, what's one thing you want for your birthday, and why is it listen? Actually, but we're gonna ignore that. If you have any respect for Lugs, if you have any respect for me, if you want to wish Lugs a happy birthday, just listen to this episode. We're gonna clip that. Is that what you want for your birthday? A listen to the official episode dropping this Thursday?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the present we want for Lugbauer. And actually, what I want for my birthday, which 3 months ago, is for Michigan baseball to acknowledge me. I've been waiting for a first pitch for a year now from these clowns. I mean, what are we doing here? And you know this, if I'm on your side, I will literally murder someone for you. I will literally go to prison for you. And Michigan baseball doesn't know that. So whatever. I mean, Maryland was kind of looming in. They were kind of on the radar. I had a top five picked out, but they gassed it too. So we'll figure something out. But the second last thing I wanted to bring up with you is, going into the rest of the year, can we start working on pimp jobs? Because you have a left, you swing from the left side. I mean, you have to have a pimp job. No, that you can't be just being nice with it. You got to maybe bat drop, bat flick. What's going on here with that?
I kind of hit it. I always watch highlights of pimp jobs. I hit it and then I drop the bat immediately. I don't hold the bat. And then I kind of realize that it's a home run. So I don't, like, some dudes like Tatis will hit it and he'll immediately know, like, the split. I mean, he's so good. The split second that he hits it, that it's a homer. Like, it takes me kind of like I'll hit it. I'll be like, oh, like, kind of things. But like in that moment, I drop the bat. So like, I gotta figure out, you know, the quick,
like, the feel. Figure out the feel. Yeah. It's just crazy to me that you have no idea. Like, how does that even matter? Your balls legit go out, especially because how much power you have, by like 1,000 feet.
Yeah, like, I'll know, but then by the time I know, the bat's already like kind of dropping, and I don't, like, I don't know. I'm not a big pimp job guy. It's gotta be a pretty big situation where, you know, like a walk off homer. I'll give you one on a walk off. How about that?
Have you hit a walk off?
In college, I hit a walk-off homer, yeah.
What, did you bat flip there, or are you lying in my face? Like, you said on a walk-off, you'll pin
me. I think I might have a little bit. I don't have the video, though. Like, or I do have the video, but it cuts out the bat flip.
So, yeah, the guy needs to be fired who recorded it. That's fine. That's fine. So, we're going to work on the bat flip. Because, dude, you're getting close to that 20 range. Like, I mean, you're four away. Is that something you're thinking about, like the 20 club?
I thought about it a few times, but then when those thoughts creep in your head,
Don't think about it then. Yeah. Don't think about it. How have you been changing? And we're going to go off field here. Have you been changing stuff, like, in the pregame routine you've been doing? Like, what have you been doing pregame? Are you superstitious now, or what's the deal?
I'm not really superstitious. I stick to a routine. Like, in the mornings, I'll wake up, make my breakfast, coffee, read a little bit, kind of do the same thing every day to, like, not take your mind off of baseball, but kind of give yourself a life, like, you know, waking up and having breakfast and doing things that you want to do, I think has really helped me. Like, instead of just waking up and going to the field right away where it's all baseball, you can get, like, wake up earlier, make breakfast, and kind of just do things that you want to do before you even head into the field. It kind of gives you, like, a sense of, like, you're on your own kind of thing. Like, you don't have to worry about baseball for a little bit.
And I don't know if I have this correctly. Are you getting your degree right now? Is that what you mentioned to me earlier?
I did that over quarantine, but I have 3 more classes to take. So
I'll take them for you. Our little secret.
I would love that.
Well, no, you actually wouldn't love that. I failed high school biology and community college. I was taking high school biology with, like, literally 17-year-old, and I was 20. Like, <that's>, you don't want that, man. I mean, what are the 3 classes left over?
I don't know. I gotta pick those. So.
Oh, you just pick them. So you're already done all your core.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, so you can just literally take, like, bowling and arts and shit.
I can take whatever.
You're chilling, man.
Yeah.
Arts, I mean, we're going to – so that's it. You have a degree. I mean, that's what we're just going to say right now. So so what do you think is going to make your parents more emotional, the degree from University of Michigan or that debut?
I would say debut.
Sure. It has to be. Yeah. I mean, academics, like, you don't go there to play school. That's one of the all-time quotes. You don't go to Michigan to play school. Yeah. But anyways, man, obviously I'm fired up for you. And when that championship parade happens, honestly, if it's so you said it's in, like, late September or early September?
Yeah, like mid to late September.
I might have to come to Mississippi. And, like, if the borders are open, I might have to come to that.
Come see the boys.
I might be torn, though, because I'm going to root for the Braves. I'm going to root for the Braves. But anyways, man, it was a pleasure to have you back on. And thank you. Obviously, birthday guy. I can't wait to tweet this video today on your birthday. We're going to do it right live. I'm going to tweet the video of you saying, listen to the episode on Thursday. And also, it's going to increase the impressions of people saying, happy birthday, Drew Lugbauer. So you better turn off the phone notifications, man. Anyways, man, it was a pleasure to have you on, and keep fucking mashing. I mean, I love watching these videos. It look like they're recorded on an LG Rumor 2. I mean, what are they doing with these videos?
A TI-84.
Do you think? I mean, if you're on the best team in Double A, you'd think maybe we can have a Canon camera or something. I don't know what's a good camera. We're doing on an LG Rumor 2.
Yeah. But
anyways, Lugs, obviously, like I said, one of the biggest Johnny Junta guys on planet Earth, doing it on his birthday. It was a pleasure to have you on, man. And yeah, keep mashing. Keep doing what I used to do in the fall.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod, and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.